Sam McEwen coming up here in just a couple minutes. Eric Shenander gets a $50,000 pay bump last year. I'm curious about this, and we'll talk about it during the show. I'll ask Sam about it, too. What happens now with the defense? You turn over a lot of pieces. And look, all the credit in the world goes to him for what they kind of built over the last 4 years. And really getting, you know, you get some guys to stay around for their sixth year, fifth year that really ended up helping them last year. And it kind of culminated in that. Obviously, the win-loss record wasn't there for a variety of different reasons. But very few of which had to do with the defense. It just felt like year over year that thing got better, and that's what it's supposed to look like. Now that wave, and you've gone through a few different, you know, you've lost some key contributors over the last 4 years, but probably not as many as you're going to this year. You're plugging in new pieces, whether it's transfers in the defensive backfield. I mean, think about this. No Cam Taylor-Britt, no Markell Dismuke, no Deontay Williams. Those guys have basically been here since Shenander's been here. So is it Quentin Newsome and Tommy Hill at the corners next year? Is it Deshaun Singleton at safety with Noah Pola-Gates or the other junior? I think they brought in another junior college. They brought in another junior college corner, Javier Morton, the other day. That defensive backfield's going to look a little bit different. You're changing over some things personnel-wise in the defensive line. Linebackers haven't gone through that much, or won't be going through that much of a line change this time around. But it'll be interesting. And then what always is the key for me is how do they decide to fit the defense into the puzzle of, the whole thing. So Sam will join us in a second on that, Josh. How do they decide to kind of fit that puzzle in with the defense? I don't know that they've had the correct answer over the last couple of years. You have to ask yourself how good is your defense going to be? How much can you rely on it? How much can you depend on it? And then, of course, you have to fit that in with the question of how much are you going to score? All of that's a mystery. All of it's a mystery. So that's why we're headed into a really, interesting spring. And then, obviously, a super interesting season as well, where we maybe figure things out a little bit on the fly. As Sam McEwen of the World Herald joins us now. Hey, Sam, good morning. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Beautiful day. Driving to Omaha. How are you guys today?
Beautiful. I don't know. It's like 3 degrees, but it's not. It's pleasant. It's a pleasant 3 degrees.
Yeah. It's pleasant. So, at least plenty of it in the car. So.
Yeah, that's not bad. Sam, I was just talking about the defense a little bit. Eric Shenander gets the raise. Obviously, he's deserved it for how they've performed over the last couple of years and their kind of culmination of it last year. They change over a bunch of pieces. What's your early look in now they've added pieces as well to the defensive side? What's your early look in how that might look next year?
I think the front seven has been pretty good. They've got the guy that's been with Arizona State, I would say, best front seven in a long time, in 5 or 6 years. He's a good player. He's still a transfer from Miami to Arizona State. So I think the front seven has a chance to be really, really good. And I should say the front seven, because the seventh player is Joe Gilman, and JoJo was a much part of the front seven. They're going to be up front. what they're going to be inside the linebacker spot. They have to like them in there.
Let's give Sam a call back, and we'll we'll tell him to hop off the old speakerphone. Maybe, I don't know. He's driving, so I'm not sure. If I couldn't hear him, and I'm wearing my big headphones, I'm sure that you couldn't either. make the executive decision on that one. So we'll see if Josh can make it so Sam maybe doesn't talk on the speaker. I don't know. Bluetooth? I have no idea. But we'll see what we can get on that one. So pieces to replace, but also pieces to replace them with. And that's the question, and how quick those pieces kind of mesh and gel. All right, Sam, how are you?
Can you hear me better now?
Much better, much better. Were you on speakerphone?
Sure, yeah. No, I wasn't, but it's okay.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's pretty funny. Okay. I think the front six can be really good. And by six, I mean I'm not including that nickel spot that JoJo's in, where it's sort of half front seven and half secondary. I'll separate that spot out and talk about it in a second. But I think the front six can be really good. They'd love to have another Damian Daniels type guy, which they might have been able to have if the guy that transferred from Miami came to Nebraska, but he's going to Arizona State. But I think they're going to be solid on the front, and then their middle linebackers I think are going to be really good. So long as Luke Reimer and Nick Hendricks stay healthy like they did last year, I think you're going to like what you see at that position. The secondary is obviously undergoing an overhaul, let's be honest. And the reason we know that is because of what they're doing in terms of talent acquisition. They just added two junior college defensive backs, one of whom is supposed to be a corner, the other of whom is Deshaun Singleton, and I think he's probably a safety. Then they added Tommy Hill, who's probably a safety. And they might add another guy this weekend. I mean, they're going after this guy from Northern Iowa. So they're obviously Travis Fisher didn't think his room was good enough. Otherwise he would have added, he wouldn't have been doing it. So they're obviously looking at a very different situation at that position. We'll see. I think we know that they've got a corner in Newsom and a safety in Miles Farmer, the two guys from Atlanta. Outside of that, I think it's obviously they feel like it's not settled, and they need more depth. Braxton Clark may start at that opposite side. I don't think that they have another true starting safety. I think Deshaun Singleton is going to be given an incredible opportunity to compete for that, as will Tommy Hill. And then there's the nickel spot. And I talked to JoJo at the Outland Trophy thing, and he mentioned Isaac Gifford and David Wright and Chris Kolarvik. So Kolarvik, who is a fast guy and a good athlete, may move out to that spot and be more of a coverage guy. And you could see him bounce out there, or you could see Isaac Gifford win that job, or if David Wright is healthy, and he hasn't been since really he got to Nebraska, he could win that job too. And then there's, I think some of the young guys that haven't played much are actually pretty good. I think they feel pretty darn good about Roquan Buckley. I think they feel good about Wyndon Huahuli, who hasn't played much yet, as potentially an edge rusher. So they've got some guys that I think are, coming up. Blaze Gunnarsson, who I think they feel like are going to play this year. So I think that front group on the defense could be pretty darn good. The questions are apparently in the secondary based on the players they're adding.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, this might be the number one thing for me. It's all-encompassing, but, defensively and offensively, they're not going to really know how – I don't know if how good they are is the right word, but how productive they're going to be. So you have to make that – like, they have to figure out that kind of puzzle and how it's going to work – how are you going to protect your defense a little bit more? Are you going to try and score 42 points a game and, put yourself at risk for interceptions or like,
right.
Do they have to reset that puzzle now going into this year?
A little bit. I mean, I think they certainly want to, And I think at times they did last year kind of protect the defense a little bit. You know, I think they certainly want to win. They know they're going to have to win close games because that's kind of what the Big Ten is. And Scott Frost has played in a lot of close games since he got to Nebraska. So you have to think about that. You have to think about reducing turnovers, finding a way to not turn the ball over twice a game. You know, if they don't turn the ball over against Wisconsin and Iowa twice, they probably win. But they did, and they lost as a result. So there's a lot of those kind of moments where you've got to find a way not to turn the football over. You have to find a way to complement your defense. And then the way that Nebraska played defense last year was not conducive to creating a lot of turnovers. It just wasn't.
Right.
It was bend, don't break, don't give up a bunch of big plays, and, you know, bow up in the red zone. So if you want to have a turnover-creating defense, you're going to take more risks. You just are. I don't know that they're up for that. I still think it's going to be more of a bend-don't-break kind of D that gets tough in the red zone. Your offense has to play cleaner. And the way that I would describe it is the offense has to be functional. It can't just be pick a play, any play, whatever play you want. Like, they have to, things have to fit together so that when they get in the red zone, they're ready to do the things that it takes to score versus 0 yards, 0 yards, 47 yards, 0 yards, 3 yards, 2 yards, field goal that Connor Cole missed.
Yeah.
That's kind of what they were doing last year. Like, the yards picture looked pretty good, but if you looked at how they got the yards and what would happen on those plays, it didn't add up the points because they weren't consistently gaining yards. They were getting big chunks off of deep play action passes, and then they couldn't score after they hit those plays.
Yeah. Offense, I mean, you know, so that brings in the question about the offense then. Can you fix that in a year? Or is that automatically some of that get refreshed now that they have a different quarterback and a couple new players that they have to deal with, and then obviously a new offensive staff? Like, does that just go away, or I guess what's the next step for the offense?
You can fix it. You have to get more modest sometimes, perhaps, in the way that you're playing. I give you the difference between the 2015 and the 2016 Nebraska football team, where the 2015 offense was way more explosive than 2016, but they removed some of the turnover-creating plays that they had in the 2015 offense, and they didn't turn the ball over nearly as much in 2016. So there's some of that. There's the way that you read the defense. It's the way that you divide the defense up if you're a quarterback. It's what you're asking your quarterback to do. It's how quickly he gets rid of the football. How much do you accept, you know, what your offense is capable of? What are you trying to accomplish with your offense? All those things. Yes, it can be fixed. There's absolutely things that you can do. The question is whether or not Nebraska has the discipline to do it. You know, they tried doing that a couple of times last season. I thought they did that against Oklahoma because they were like, if we turn the ball over, we're dead. We're going to lose this game for sure. And I thought they were very thoughtful in the way they operated in that particular game.
Yep.
And early in the game against Illinois, they did that. And they didn't gain a lot of yards. But they did, and then their special teams went to hell right away, and it killed sort of the approach that they were trying in the first half of that game. And then, you know, Adrian Martinez fumbled at the end of the half, which was a classic, well, let's go get some points. You know, it's 9-9, let's put points on the board kind of thing. And then they lost the lead there, and then they went back to their usual, scramble thing. So, you know, there were games last year where I thought they were patient and they resisted the urge to be antsy and to be impatient. But I think a lot of times, especially as the season went on, I mean, they just went back to what they normally do. And they, you know, they tried to get it all at once. The best example I can come up with is they're down 7 at Minnesota in the fourth quarter. They're starting at their own 10. There's like 5 minutes left. You know, and the first play, the very first play is some 35-yard play-action pass, and Adrian Martinez finds himself 13 yards behind the line of scrimmage or whatever it was, and he gets sacked for a safety. And it was just quintessential. Exactly that kind of, like, what the hell are you guys doing moment that they've always been prone to. Like, they don't trust their offense enough to just get a first down and then get it going. Like, they don't trust their offense to just hand the football off and gain yards with a running back. They have to get to that. They've got to find a way to be able to just hand the football off and get it to the running back, and not rely as much on their quarterback. Because anytime you rely totally on your QB, you're asking for turnovers.
Yep.
You just are. Since Scott Frost got there, Nebraska's averaged 16 quarterback carries per game, right? 16 quarterback carries per game over the course of four seasons. That is more than any other team in the Big Ten, and it is double the Big Ten West average rate. So you look at the top three teams in the Big Ten West over the last 4 years. Those are Wisconsin, Iowa, and Minnesota, and they are the three lowest of all the teams. They are the three lowest teams in terms of quarterback carry. It's not a coincidence. It's just not. You've got to find a way to get the ball out of your quarterback hand when you're running it and get it into the hands of your running back.
Sam, I found it interesting, and right on that, because I talked about this a lot yesterday, but I found it interesting that Casey Thompson has talked a little bit about wanting to, you know, why he left Texas and wanting to run a little bit more. You could still run with your quarterback and make it be effective for you, just probably not designed or not leaning on him, you know, 15 times a game. And it also gets the guy hurt, too. I guess, how do they manage that? It obviously has to be an issue that they've identified, I would think. But then where does it go from here with a new quarterback?
Yeah, you know, I think, and I saw some of that interview. Casey Thompson's a good kid, okay? So I think he probably knows going into this with his eyes wide open that there's probably going to be some running of the football.
Yeah.
There probably is. If Alabama had called him up and asked him to be their quarterback because Bryce Young was going to the NFL, I don't know that Casey would have said, you know, I really want to join a team where we run the ball more, you know, or I'm running it. You know, like, I get what he's saying. He's a good guy. I think Nebraska got a very similar disposition to Adrian Martinez and Casey Thompson. I think Casey's a little bit more of a leader, a little bit more vocal leader. But so Casey's going to do what he's asked to do. But yes, can you run the football with your quarterback without doing 16 times a game? Yes, you can. And you better hope that Nebraska figures out that. Like, you can run it 8 times a game for 37 yards and achieve much the same thing. But it's worth noting that the guy that he committed to was Tom Herman, and Tom Herman ran the crap out of Sam Ellinger for however many years Sam Ellinger was there.
Yep.
So it is accurate to say that when Casey Thompson went to Texas, he went to a program that ran the ball a lot with the quarterback. And so I don't think he would be out of place in Frost's offense from last year. That said, I still feel like the goal of this thing is going to be to reduce the number of quarterback carries and to get the ball out of the quarterback's hand a little faster when you're throwing the football. You've got to find a way to get easy yards, not 47-yard plays, but easy yards, 7, 5, 6, without your quarterback having to wait for Levi Falk crossing 4 seconds into a route.
Yep.
You've got to find a way to get quicker, you know, easy yards quickly, and they're going to have to find a way to do that with this offense, because you can't have your guy getting sacked all the time, and people have a hard, it's hard for me to back up with numbers, I'll say this, but I know Pro Football Focus has been really hard on Nebraska's offensive line, and I understand that. Some of why Nebraska's offensive line graded poorly is because the offensive structure asks those guys to block for 3.5 seconds, and that's hard to do. And, it, you know, those guys had to block until Travis Bokolek came open on a tight end cross or 27 yards down the field. That takes time. It just takes time to do. You've got to find a way to get get some throws going quicker than what they've been doing and find a way to get the ball to your receiver in open space and let them make a play. And we'll see how they do with that.
Given all the change, and especially at quarterback and then, of course, the offensive staff, it's a broad question, but how important is spring ball? Because it has to come, and there's so much urgency on this year too. Obviously, you have to win some football games this year. It feels like those 15 practices are super important.
Yeah, they are. They are really important. You have to begin to find an identity in that setting over the course of a month. We'll talk a lot about that in terms of who are you guys going to be as an offense? What do you want to try to do? I think Scott also wants to have, I don't know how he would describe it. He probably put it, we'll ask him this. Is it more important to create an identity schematically or an identity about how you go about doing things? And what do you want to change from last year to this year about how you go about doing things? That's probably the question worth asking, because I feel like Scott, I think this is true. This is just my impression of things he said, is got to find a way for us, for Nebraska, to be the tough kind of, you know, gritty football team that he desires. And he really wants that out of the offensive line in particular. And so I feel like the change that's going to take place with that group is important to him. And so there, it's a blend of both. It's figuring out what you're going to do schematically, and it's who are we going to be, you know, how are we going to go about doing things in a way that reflects our toughness.
Yeah. All right. Sam McEwen of the Omaha World Herald. All right, Sam, make sure you stay away from the Turkish soccer tweets.
We're trying to get it back. We're trying to get the Twitter account back. Twitter's working on it.
So,
time being, people can follow me at SW McEwen Sports.
What happened? Like, how did you know that this was happening to you?
Well, okay. I can say this briefly. There was another person who I retweeted when they were a writer for another paper, and they were covering a UConn women's basketball game and Creighton was playing out there, and I retweeted something they wrote. And I was sent a copyright violation notification by this person, not aware that I was sent it by what looked like a verified account on Twitter, not aware that person had been hacked.
Oh.
And so I verified something in order to remove the violation, and that was hacked.
Oh no!
And so if you go and look at that person's Twitter account, they will say that you know they're back and they apologize if anybody got something from them. I was one of the people who did, and I got fished. I got scammed.
You got,
and that's what happened to me.
You got, yeah. Got. I hope.
So that's part of what happened. Like it wasn't just like, oh, what happened? Like, I got a notification and I made a mistake. And well, I mean, I don't know if I made a mistake. I just thought I was trying to do the right thing by removing, but I didn't make any copyright violation. I tried looking up, like, what is this? And it apparently is a real thing. It just wasn't a real thing as it related to this situation. I tried to resolve it, and within, like, seriously, like 2 or 3 minutes, I was gone. And then
wow.
There was a soccer tweet up, and I'm like, I don't know what to do with that. I had no idea how to handle a soccer tweet. And so everybody thought that was me, and I'm like, no, it's not me. And so I started another account, and we'll just see if Twitter's able to get mine back.
Oh, I hope they are.
Me too.
All the responses, though, I was looking through all the quote tweets of the people like talking a different language and translating it. I was following it like it was a soap opera or something like that. It was very intriguing.
I got contacted by the person in the tweet, like the person who was referenced in the tweet, and they were not happy. And I'm like, come on, man, I was hacked. Like, I don't know anything about you.
Yeah, this is not real.
And then there were a couple of Turkish journalists who contacted me too.
Oh no!
Like it was a thing. It was a whole thing. You know, apparently worst comes to worst, I'm just going to have to start over with a new Twitter account, which will take me years, obviously, to build up the same number of followers. But, like, it was a whole thing. It was the person tried to extort money from me to get my account back. I was like, no, I'm not doing that.
Right.
So it was, yeah, it was, you know, it's a tough deal. It's the way it works sometimes with Twitter, but, you know, we'll see. People can follow me at SW McEwen Sports for now.
Yes. We'll look forward to that. Sam, I hope that thing gets resolved. What a disaster. We'll talk to you later, man. Thanks.
Thank you.
Sam McEwen from the Omaha World Herald, who you can now follow on Twitter at a different place, at SW McEwen Sports.
I love the disgust in his voice. I didn't know how to handle a soccer tweet.
It was like I saw it pop up, and I was like, Sam, what are we doing here? Why are we tweeting breaking news and fake news about a Turkish soccer team? And all the responses, I mean, it had thousands of retweets. And people were quote tweeting it, and they were talking in a different language, and they were laughing at it. And, oh, my goodness, that was a total mess. This is, Tuesday night. So I hope Sam gets his Twitter account back. We are only our Twitter accounts.
It's true. He's almost back up to 1,000.
It's tough, though. Oh, man. Jacob Padilla is going to join us here in just a few minutes. We'll talk hoops with him as Creighton gets a job done last night, and Nebraska still searching. Still searching. Maybe some local prep stuff as well. Hey, speaking of Twitter accounts, I realized that I had never explained this on this show, that we are doing a radio show today. Bit. It is a bit.
Yes. Explain the bit to us.
So if you follow me on Twitter, I'll tweet out at 10 o'clock every day that I remember. There's an asterisk there. Every day that I remember, I will tweet out at 10. We are doing a radio show today at 1620 The Zone. You can listen at 1620thezone.com. And then a random picture from my camera roll.
Okay. It is specifically from your camera roll.
Yes.
Okay.
I have these pictures. There's a bunch of them. Many of them are stupid. Some of them are just memes from the last few days of sports that I put on my phone, I've used, or will tweet out at some point.
I saw the other day it was Eli Manning wearing the death row chain.
That's right. That's right. So the idea
is... Can they bring him on stage at halftime of the Super Bowl? I'd love to see that.
Oh, that would be awesome. He's wearing his sweater.
Yeah.
With his collar popping out. That'd be really fantastic.
But I digress. Please, proceed.
So the idea is, I'm not very good... Or I don't think I'm very good at promoting myself. Actually, that's just fact. I'm just not very good at promoting myself. So, you know, like I want to promote the show and I want people to listen to the show and I want to grow the show. This has been the case all throughout ever since I've had a show. And the only way that I know how to do things is sarcastically.
Good.
So
good. You'll fit in well here.
Basically, it's like, yeah, have you seen my pinned tweet? If I was the offensive coordinator, I would call the most sarcastic plays. That happened during a Nebraska football game once when Nebraska decided that they were just going to go throw fades back in the Mike Riley era, in the Danny Langsdorf era. That was another story. But the idea is like, here's what I got. I'm going to put as little effort into it as possible. Listen to the show. We're doing a radio show today. Here's a random picture. Boom. I don't have anything to preview. Luckily, now we have a show Twitter account, thank you, Josh, that takes care of all of this, that takes care of the actual promoting of the show, shouts out our guests, things like that. But we're going to continue on with the bit that I kind of just stopped doing for a while because I ran out of content, and B, got lazy.
Well, but that happens.
It's a new year, new me.
There you go. I love that attitude.
2022. We'll see what happens in February. Jacob Padilla, Hail Varsity. We'll talk some hoops next on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone.